Please, let's continue what we have been speaking about for the last two meetings on in our school of prayer, the book of Acts chapter 13. Now, they said in verse 1, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, and they gave their names, Barnabas, Simeon, and Lucius, and then Saul at the end of the list. And the Bible says in verse 2, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, that's verse 3 now. When they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. And the Bible says they began to move around as led by the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been speaking about this for some time, this fasting of the Christian, and I have explained two important principles. Number one, that is a lifestyle we read from the book of Isaiah chapter 58, which the Bible calls the fasted lifestyle. That is, it is not about hunger. I've been emphasizing that. We have to be careful that we do not think that it's our own effort that brings us before the presence of God. I said to us in those days, that's the last two meetings about this matter, that hunger does not in any way at all improve the potency of your prayer. That for believers, what fasting is, okay, we said there are two sides. There's a lifestyle, which we read from Isaiah chapter 58, in which one lives, let me just summarize it like this. One lives a life of faithfulness. One lives a life of righteousness. One does everything that is right in the presence of God. And that's one was described in that book of Isaiah chapter 58. And then we also said that there is an important matter, that's which is the reason why we picked from that Acts chapter 13, that I said fasting for the believer is not about hunger. It is about what? Concentration. It is about setting oneself apart to be able to communicate with heaven. I said to us last time that what you pay attention to, the direction you look is where you hear things from. That is, when Daniel was interpreting the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, actually he was telling Nebuchadnezzar the dream that he had. He said to Nebuchadnezzar, in your dream, in your sleep, your mind turns towards the things that will occur in the future. And then God gave you this revelation. Then he saw that statue and all of that. Let's just read that. You know, I quoted it last time. Let's just open to the book of Daniel. Let's just read that just for completeness sake. That's Daniel chapter 2. Remember the story? The man dreamt and nobody could interpret the dream. And then Daniel gathered his friends and they prayed. And God revealed to Daniel the dream. And as if from verse 28, it says, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and he has made known to to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. And I said, this was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what will take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. Please notice that. Your thoughts turned to what will take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. That is, it's the direction you turn your mind to that you begin to get information concerning things from that direction. I also mentioned this. I think we should also just look at it just for completeness sake. This one is Daniel chapter 2, verse 29 that we just read now, right? All right. Let's just read the one about Moses and the bush that was burning. You notice something. In Exodus chapter 3, you know the story of Moses and the burning bush? Moses was pastoring the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And then one of those days, the Bible says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. Now, bear this in mind, the angel of God didn't just show up and say, I'm the angel of God. What he did was first to catch the attention of Moses by doing something in the bush that was burning and the bush was itself not consumed. He said, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. That's verse 2. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. Now notice that. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. Please, let me read one more time. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And the Lord began to speak with him. What I want to emphasize from these two portions of the scriptures that I read is that you see that God tries to catch people's attention. All right? It's when you look in a direction that God begins to speak from that direction. You see that Moses was there. God wanted to talk to him. I suppose he was very busy. He was very distracted. Many of the things he was doing, all right, they were really occupying him. And many of us are often occupied like that. I said it last time. You get up in the morning, you know, yesterday, Daniel said to me, I came home late because I had something to do in the office. And then after that, I went to give some tutorials to some students in the evening. Then I went to see somebody. So when I go back home, it was 9 o'clock in the evening. Ah, he said, oh, guy, you are very strong. I told him, this is not strength, it is foolishness. I said, this is not strength, it is foolishness. I said, thank you very much. Don't even tell me I'm strong. Or, you know, I know you may not feel strong enough and bold enough to come and tell me what is wrong with you. I know. But don't deceive me and call this strength. You know, there was a time that Moses was sitting down and judging the whole of Israel from morning till night. And other people were going around talking about it. That Moses man is a workaholic. That guy is strong. I like Christians like that. They don't take things lightly. He sits down and takes control. He has woken up first thing in the morning until night is there, making sure everything is in order. That man doesn't waste time with his business. By 5 o'clock, he has woken up. By 6:30, he's already in the office. Many Christians are lazy. That man is always in the office. You get there by 9 o'clock, he's still there. That's why his church is growing. He does not sleep. He studies at night, and he prays and prays and prays. And everybody wants to queue up and start emulating a man that's going to die very soon. Are you getting my point? And they're not speaking about bad things as if they are the signs of strength. They are not the signs of strength. A bad thing is a bad thing. How do I know it's a bad thing? The Bible says it is vain to rise up early, to go to bed late. Those two things, the Bible says, they are vain. Even if you claim you are doing the work of God, you say it is vain. Vanity is what you are pursuing. What you will find is that you have been chasing after the wind. So one day I said, oh, guy, you are strong. I said, please, don't just come to my house and come and deceive me. This is not strength. This is foolishness. And I must put an end to it over the next few days. My hope was just that this will be a temporary period, all right? And I believe God that it's already come to an end. We're doing exams and all of that. That ended yesterday, all right? And I owed some students some tutorials. They had another exam to do, so I went to just put them in shape. And as I was climbing up here today, all right, I said to myself, tomorrow, I'm not going to wake up on time. I said, I don't care. I am not going to wake up on time. When I hit that bed this evening, I'm just going to cross my leg. I even watch a movie self. You know, come out, just make sure that I'm not rushing anywhere. So sometimes we are so busy. A lot of us are prospering in this being busy. Are you getting my point? And we are deceived to think that that's what is the right thing to do. And I believe that what Moses was experiencing also is that he was very busy making sure everything was in order. God had tried to speak to him. I told you, God doesn't like to do magic. A lot of us think that God likes to show. Just watch it. Boom, bush, boom, you know, go consume. You know, that kind of thing. And all of us say, wow, what was that? Oh, what was that? The weather, kind of peculiar, don't you think? I don't know. God only uses such things when he has tried to call your attention in different normal ways. And you're not great here. Now go blow roof, blow everything, bomb bush, replace the bush. Just look now. Finally, I believe that was the only thing that could get Moses' attention. Then the Bible says he turned aside to look. Remember what I said last time? Let me say it again. I talked about the logos of the word of God, which is written, it is documented, we can pick a book and read it. That is summary of the thoughts of God. But each particular situation in life, that logos comes in and transmutates into something that is alive for that moment and for that moment alone. And we call that the rhema. It is a word that, using Yonggi Cho's definition, is a specific word to a specific person at a specific time for a specific situation. All right, it doesn't work the following day. It comes to you to solve your problem at a particular point in time. It comes to you to give you direction at a particular point in time. And listen to this, if without that word, you will not have direction. It's important you understand that. Without that word, you will be confused. There are things about your life that's not written in the Bible. All right? I've read from my Bible to Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation. I've not seen the word Lagos. Some things have come close to it, like Logos. But Lagos, you know, they're there. I have seen, gone here and there. Enugu does not appear there. People have said all kinds of things. Once I heard one man came to preach once. I said, if you take the word Jerusalem, the first three letters is J-E-R. The last three one is L-E-M. What is the one in the middle? U-S-A. You see, Jerusalem. I'm telling you. It was revelation. We can conjure anything that we want out of the scriptures. The fact is that at least by human, even the revelation of the Holy Spirit now, direct writing, Enugu, Los Angeles, USA, it's not there. You can use different ways, but God has something to say about United States. He has something to say about your being Enugu or living here and going down to Onitsha or living in Onitsha and going down to Australia. He has something to say about those things. And that thing, the only way you will hear it, there are different ways by which God communicates. I'm not talking about that now. But the only way you will hear the one that God is saying to you is if you turn aside to look. That's what I'm talking about. So Christian fasting, it is a season in which we turn aside to look. It is a way by which we turn aside, we turn our thoughts in a particular direction. It is not the way by which we persuade God that which you don't want to do, you will do it today. After I lose 5 kg, you say you will show mercy. You know that kind of thing. After I lose all this weight, you will show mercy. After I go hungry, I can't talk again, you will show mercy. You know, I told you the joke once. My mother was discussing, telling my wife and I about the way his friend's church, how they do their fasting. Once a year, they will go on this long fast. They will be so hungry and weak and dehydrated at the point in time that they can't even pray. That when you see her friend, you have to say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. So she turned and said, did you kill somebody? That was what my mother said. By the way, she said, you kill people. That is not the one person. No. You must have killed a lot of them. That this amount of penance you are doing for your sins, that is the only explanation we can have that will be satisfactory. All right? That you must have killed people for you to be doing this kind of thing. And I say to you, that is not Christianity. You know, many of the things I say, they are not popular. But I say it again, that is not Christianity. If you get so weak, you understand, because you think that will make God hear you, that will buy you favor, mercy with God, you are just deceiving yourself. I say to you, and I say it again, all right? I've said it before, and I'm not missing words about it. If you get to a point in your so-called fasting, you're so tired, you can't lift your hands, you can hardly pray, because you know you are weak from hunger, oh boy, you are more in the will of God. Are you getting my point? To stretch and say, Holy Spirit, I beg, may I just buy this bread? We'll continue this conversation in a moment. Because anything you start hearing after that is called hallucination. You start getting confused. I'm telling you the truth. If you're hungry, your brain starts misfiring. You will see angels. All kinds of angels will show up before you. But they are not real angels. They are the angels of hunger. You say, but Jesus fasted for 40 days. The Bible says, afterward, he became hungry. For the period of 40 days, he did not know hunger. Go and read your scriptures. Elijah, he fasted for 40 days. Go and read it. He did not fast for 40 days. He was fed food that lasted 40 days in effect. The Bible says he went in the strength of that single meal, but two meals, to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. 40 days. That is, it wasn't that he's the man. Listen. This fellow, at a point in time when the Holy Spirit came upon him, outran chariots. You understand? You and somebody go in the fence in the car, and it's about to start raining, and you carry your trouser, pull them up, come out your shoe, hold them, begin pence. Now you overtake the guy. You know that's not normal. You understand my point? And it's the same thing that came upon him. He had to go very far. He was weak. They fed him food to replenish him for the strength he had lost. So he went to sleep. Then the angel woke him up again and said, eat, for the journey is long. And the Bible says that he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. He was not hungry. The only other person that was fasting for 40 days, his name was Moses. And again, he was not hungry. The man went into the presence of God and was caught up in the clouds. Until you achieve any of this, please, I beg you, Don't fool yourself that you are spiritual going for a 40-day fast. Don't fool yourself. There's nobody Christian, no true prophet of God, no true Christian ever in the scripture sat down and deliberately went on a hunger strike so as to move God. That's Hinduism. When the anointing of God comes upon you, if it suspends you out of eating for a year, it's the will of God. But the deliberate perforation of your stomach so as to impress us with spirituality, forget it. Oh boy, take a meal. You will do better with God. I'm saying it, I'm not joking about it. So you're punishing your flesh for nothing. What moves God is faith. What did I say? What moves God is what? Faith. Why do we fast? Like I'm telling you, it is not hunger we are trying to attain. We are trying to focus. And experience has taught you certain things are greater distractions than others. Are you getting my point? And when you are talking about this so-called fast, watch those things. There are people that can never fast while they are in their biz. You get my point? You just have to leave. Go somewhere where nobody knows you. I discussed that last time. I'm trying to connect with what I want to say today. Please, let's follow this point very clearly. What we are trying to do as believers is to turn aside to look. We are trying to get revelation from above. We are not trying to persuade God to do that which he did not plan to do. We are trying to get direction. He said, as a minister to God and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, I said last time, that what was important was that they gathered about the presence of God. They were not distracted. It wasn't the time they were taking phone calls. Are you getting my point? It's amazing people come to church, they leave their phone on, and say, somebody was going to call me. Inside church. You know the law in Kingdom World Ministries. Any phone deliberately left on while I am preaching, it will never ring again. I don't care whether it's Samsung Galaxy S4 or iPhone 5S. Those are the ones that are just coming out now. I don't care whether it's dual SIM, tri SIM, quadruple SIM. Whatever it is, if you leave a phone on deliberately while I'm preaching, that phone will never ring again. I don't know what message are you trying to get. They will call me. We are listening to the word of God for an hour and a half. That is when the phone call that will save your life will come. Go and take it outside. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? It's so crucial to understand this. For believers, it's fasting. You know, people get up and say, what is happening? I'm fasting. So what do you get up fast? You're a marketing agent. You go visit like 16 clients that day. Save your life. Chop something. And tell God, when I come back, we'll go see. You are getting what I'm going to explain. What am I saying here? As believers, what we want is what? To hear something. Now, we're not now you have to understand that. I'm not saying tune your voice and start hearing evil spirits. So it's just concentration. And I said this last time, God catches our attention different ways. In Moses' case, you see that what the Lord did was to set the bush on fire. Many things in your life will appear to be on fire at certain times. The idea is turn aside and look. Many people are so intent on fighting this devil. Anything, if you hear Gbosa, they don't begin, devil, I rebuke you. God is the one tapping. You say, come now, one talk. You don't rebuke the devil, rebuke him. In Jesus' name, you can't get me. Holy Ghost, fire. God says, okay. Go on now. Another, you know, if it's a lot of Nigerian Christians today, bush on fire. They have come from the village. Hey, see, oh, the bush is burning. They will not get me. Holy Ghost, fire. Holy Ghost, fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit. I come after a while. Holy Spirit says, oh, enough. The fire go quench. You say, they now come to church and testify. As the fire began to burn, me too, I brought out my own fire. I fired it. What happened? The fire now stopped. I knew my God is greater. God said, okay, oh, if that is the way you see it. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Instead of them to look and find out what is going on. Many times in life, that's what God wants to do. Just tapping you. The last five businesses you did, five couple not come out. The curse is our family that said I will not prosper. Tonight, it's going to go away. I said, all right. Then you go pray. Go, oh, baby, give him small money before this boy spoils everything. They go and testify. When I came with fire, against that curse. It went down. Papa God said, no problem, we'll find another way one day. Just trying to get a boy's attention. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, God will set many things around you on fire. No be fight. Now, please, just pay attention. Just pay attention. Just look in that direction. You go to your office, you walk. They promote everybody, then they forget you. Then you now go and sow a seed for promotion. Oh, God. He said, look, these Nigerian Christians have come again. God said, just pay attention. Just go home, settle down, and say, Lord, I need to pray. Tell everybody I'm traveling for a few days. Why? Listen, I have worked the best possible. I have put in my best effort. I have prophesied. I have done everything. When it comes to promotion, nobody talks about me. What is going on? Let me say to you again, it's not the devil. Did you hear what I said? What did I say?
It's not the devil.
People are not in a coven firing at you. Hey, I pray Christians will just forget those things. If I say, are you saying there are no witches and there are no covens? Maybe there are there. Maybe there are covens. But one thing you are sure of is this. If they are firing at me, it's not working against me. I know that one for sure. How do I know? Balaam was hired by Balak to fire against Israel. And he explained to them directly that this firing does not work. Therefore, it is wrong on Israel's part to settle down and say, the reason why our bush is burning, the reason why our bush is burning is because the enemy said we will not make progress. And tonight we are going to say no longer. Tonight is an end. We are going to rebuke all of them. Bring your koboko. We are going to flog the devil. Anyway, people need exercise. You have to get it one way or the other. All right? Either you go jogging around Okwara Square or you flog the devil. One way or the other, you will exercise. Most Christians, that is what they do. All right? Let me say it to you again. Your problems in life as a believer, they are not witches. You do not have a problem with the devil in himself. Let me say this to you quickly. If I feel so strong to say this, the only weapon Satan is firing against you right now is temptation. Let me say it again. The only weapon Satan is firing against you right now is what? Temptation. That is all. That you have come here, self, ignorance is not even firing against you. Because you are acquiring knowledge. The only thing is firing against most believers today is temptation. He can't take your health. He ain't got the power. He can't take your money. He doesn't have the power. He can't take your mind. He can't get you into confusion. He does not have the power. The only thing he has is the power of temptation. And what is temptation? Offer, please follow me. That's what temptation is. You must get that point. So the problems in your life, they are not caused by the devil. Not because the devil doesn't like to cause it. He can't. You get what I'm saying? He can't. I told the Jews, I finished preaching once. Somebody came and met me and said, please pray for me. I said, what is it? He said, I dreamt. Listen to this. I saw my mother in the dream. She gave me an egg to eat. I said, what did you do? He said, I swallowed it. Since then, something has been in my throat. It didn't go down. I looked at the young woman. So I said, please go away from here. I said, I'm a doctor. What is in your throat is called globus hystericus. I said, when you are worried, things start clumping all over all parts of your body. It is the truth. When you are afraid, you know, people say they are pursuing me in my dream. Go and check if he's owing somebody. Once you are owing people, as a man, they start pursuing your dream. It's your debtors. It's nothing more than debtors. It's not a witch. You're getting my point? The devil can cause you problems. All he can do is tempt. That is all. That's all he can do to you as a believer. He said, when I sleep, I'm flying. Be careful how you interpret things. If I sleep and I'm flying, I have to go to American embassy the following week. It means I have to travel abroad. Yes. If I sleep and I'm flying, I have to ask, Olayinka, did anybody call us from abroad? Maybe they want us to come and preach and God has spoken that we should go. That don't say you're not going because you're white. You know, some of us don't like to preach in white countries. So God has to, you know the way God appeared to Peter? Because he doesn't say Peter no go Greek go where Gentiles are gathered. The Lord had to appear to him with all kinds of animals in a big sheet. If not today's Christian, they came as goats,
They came as pig. They came as hawk. All of them. All my enemies, they gathered. Hey! Oh, Lua, that is. That's the interpretation we give it. Peter, a rice killer, and eater. How do they chop this kind of thing? Then the discussion ends. Cornelius and Co showed up. Let me say to you again, Satan can't do anything. Eh? You know the story I tell all the time about the bat. Remember my bat story? Bat entered the classroom. Small boys don't understand witch. They don't understand wizard. Now they chop the witch. May God give you the strength to eat a witch. Amen? Uh-huh. They whack the witch up. If not, Christian, we don't go to some churches. Holy Ghost fire. Devil, it's some assault. Clear out of here. Die. Die. The boy said, no, don't die. We will kill you. Just go. How should you die when we have the strength to kill somebody? They collected the bats, killed it, roasted it in fire, chewed it, masticated it properly. Are you getting my point? And then they deglutated it and swallowed. And nothing to them. You have the power to eat witches if they will show up. They said they put sacrifice there. Whack them first, then find out later who put it. Eat the sacrifice first, then decide later whether it is your Ogbanje spirit or Mami Water spirit or Ogbonge spirit, whatever they are. Just eat it first. I don't, you know, there are things I've said again and again, but today I feel like saying them again. I told you, a friend of mine when we were in university, one young woman came to visit one of their classmates, brought all kinds of things, and they said, forget me not, they inside, they're not green work. And you know, some of the hungriest group of people on this earth are students. You don't bring food near a student, it's like bringing a vegetable near a goat. Why no go chop? They put food there, they say, forget me not. This is my bro. I ain't reach there. Now I see offering. So I said, what's up with this offering? 1,000 burnt offerings, you know? Then they tell the whole story about the girl who came, who wants to marry the boy, and then this and that. He said, is that all? They said, yes. He said, no problem. Let me add my own words to it. I go marry him, don't worry. They said, don't worry. Now the guy sit down. He began to sacrifice all the things that they had down there. And after a while, the boys looked at each other and said, man, this guy is not dying. Nothing's happening to him. Let's all marry her. Now me go marry her. Man. Let's all gather. Let's all marry. The guy came to our room to come and tell us his story. His friend that he was telling said, yeah, oh boy. I can't even for call me first now. That's what his friend told me because they were classmates. I was their junior. We were in the same room. All of us, the same fellowship. I'm on campus. He told the boy, Meg, why you can do like this? You for call me first now. That is, leave them in their ignorance and fear of witches and wizards. Let's do the will of God. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What have I said? Nothing. I said, listen to me. The devil can't worry you. That here, never. Amen. If they give you something, chop for inside your dream. Chop palm, sleep. Wake up in the morning, look for water, wash them down. You think I'm joking? Go and read the story of Meltari in the gentle breeze of Jesus. They went for crusade. Miraculous supply. Everywhere there was drought, famine. Their host said, there's nothing to give you. You can't stay. He said, God said, we should come and preach. No food. Immediately they started preaching. Preach for like 7 days. He said, when we finish preaching, we'll pray for rain, and rain will fall. But before we finish preaching, this drought has to continue. So how do you guys eat? Don't worry. They will finish preaching. At night, they will sit down. Suddenly, a trance will come upon all of them. And they will begin to dream that they were eating. Then when the dream vanishes, they are full. God did that for them for a whole week. I'm telling you, sometimes God wants to meet your need. You are rebuking him. You know, God not like wahala. Holy Spirit will tap you like this. Ah, Holy Ghost fire against you. Holy Spirit say against me too. What's that? Well, you can't even recognize him. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What's the point I'm making? Listen, The devil is not your problem. If something is always going on around you, watch it. Maybe God is setting something on fire and it needs your attention. That's what I'm talking about. You invest in this business, invest in the next one. I mean, go and read the story. You know, this one of the books I recommend all the time is
Demon Shakarian's. And then, okay, Chooks wrote a summary of it inside our current journal, all right? Just pick it, it's there. Go and get the book, read it. The man was investing, he was stockpiling grain. He went into the milling business. Things were going bad every day. Everything was going wrong. Everything was going wrong. Finally, he settled down, said, God, what's going on? And the Lord said to him simply, I did not call you into that kind of business in the first place. Because by that time, they were hemorrhaging badly. They were bleeding seriously. He was losing, for that time, I think $50,000 or $10,000 on a daily basis. If that thing didn't come to an end, he was going to be wiped out, wipe himself out, wipe his father out. What do we do? God said, sell everything. He went back to the mission that he was doing. At the end of the day, God arranged somebody to go and buy it. That man was sleeping. The Lord woke him up one day and said, go and call Demon Shakarian. Tell him you want to buy his business. The man called him. Let me make it long. Go and read the story in the book. So a lot of times we just open the door for the devil recklessly. You rebuke, rebuke, rebuke. He doesn't go. Settle down and check. Where did this devil enter from? The Bible said, give no room to the devil. If you don't give him room, he can't stay. We focus on a man we have given room. God said, look, close the door. He goes away. He can't stay there unless that door remains open. And you will not know the door to the devil that you left open. Are you getting my point? Except you turn aside to look. The fast of the Christian is to turn aside to look. Something is on fire around you. Business is not going well. Are you getting my point? There are so many things. And people are always looking for solutions to the problems. They don't turn aside to look and say, what is fundamentally the problem? There's no scripture in the Bible that says a Christian should not do business. None. There's no scripture that says a Christian should not be in ministry. That specific say, hey, you, John Bull, do not do ministry. There's nothing like that. Yet we can't all be businessmen. You know that. We cannot all be preachers. Some must preach while others must do business. You know, like I say jokingly all the time, but it's a matter of fact. As I've seen, you know, people say, I said, look, I cannot be supervising where they are doing construction. If I'm there supervising construction, who will be there supervising preaching? In fact, my faith is reaching a level now, eh? It's going up. I'm beginning to think that, listen, you know, and we'll get to that one later. The Lord is good. And the Lord is good. Listen, this is what I'm making is that how do I know? I told you, was it last week or a few weeks ago, I said it. There was a day I sat down and watched a man on TV, and I told my wife, this man is not called to ministry. I didn't know him from anywhere. I just saw him on TV. I said, this one, what is he doing here? He will never find out he's not called to ministry, except he turns aside to look. And I make bold to say, God is very kind. He will have burnt bush around that guy. The guy will pour water on the bush. He will speak to him at night. He will call his name. The guy will take Valium to be sleeping, so he can't hear that voice. Many times God comes around warning people. No, you know, there was something that this man said, C.S. Lewis, inside our magazine. He talked about different ways by which God speaks to people. And Eli will now say it like this, that God speaks to men different with diverse manner. In his dream, he talks to him, but they don't pay attention. That he even comes and speaks with pain in his bones, but they don't pay attention. Eventually, he leaves them to destruction. I believe God has spoken to that fellow. Sometimes I don't want to interfere in other people's businesses, all right? That is their lives. But sometimes when somebody is close to me and I begin to have a nudging that what this fellow is doing is not right. These days, for certain reasons, I say, I think, let me offend my friend. You know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Because one of the ways that by which God speaks to people, even if I don't want to say stop this, and I say, do you mind praying about it? Just take a week off and go and pray. Because I believe that some people like that, that man I'm telling you about died, I think, 2 years after. And when they heard the man was dead, I said, oh, I knew this man. Look, it's not as if I knew he was going to die. No, let me say it like that. I said, listen, what this man is doing is not right. I just watched TV. And once, I didn't see him twice on TV. Only one day. I sat down. I said, is that him? They said, yes. I said, this man is not called to ministry. How will he know? Except he turns aside to look. Why do Christians fast? We're not going to hunger fast to impress anybody. We don't want to set ourselves on fire to catch government attention. You take time aside to look. Because your library ministry, there is no way you will know except you take time aside to look.
Should I continue doing business? There's no way you will know except you take time aside to look. So God says many things on fire around us. What he's saying is simple. Just turn aside and look. And I'm telling you, if you turn aside to look, all right, and you are careful, you will, you see, different way God speaks. But at the end of the day, you will have understanding, you will have direction. Don't just make a rash decision one day because something didn't work the way you wanted it to work. A man starts business today, didn't work. I mean, 7 days, a man must fall, you know, 7 ways. A righteous man falls how many times? 7 times. So the first day your business doesn't work, it doesn't mean you're not called to business. It just means turn aside and look. You know, I said something last time. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, from your youth you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And when I preached that message, wisdom for salvation, this is what I meant. I said, listen, everything you want to do in life, you must have a wisdom for your own salvation. It's not a business. It's not just to say, God, I want to go and commit this business into your hand. Look, this business is committed into your hand. Commit into God's hands. You know how long it takes? Maybe like 5 seconds. Assume the name of your business is Kingdom Microphone Loudspeaker Computers Gathering Introduction of the Word of God and Expounding Thereof International. You're not planning to give any business that name, so that's why let me just use that. To commit it into God's hand is how long it takes for you to pronounce the name of the business and say, I have committed it into your hands, O Lord. That's all. What takes time is to hear from the Lord, for the Holy Spirit to inspire you to plot the strategy you will use for your business. Ask my wife when I'm talking to her. I say, listen, whatever you want to do, and I want to tell you, I'd like to do this. I say, look, everybody is doing that. So what is different? It's very important. And let me just say this. As a believer, anything you want to do in life, ask yourself, why should I do it? I mean, somebody's already doing it. I told you once, people talk, we talk, we are not here. That must be my year of greatest. Don't let me call it temptation. In temptation, the way we talk about it, something you are thinking of doing, but you really don't want to do, but maybe you are being pressured to do it. You understand my point? So I won't call it temptation. Let me say the year of my greatest harassment. I think you should make this thing a church. You should do church. You know, you'll be able to reach more people and all of that. I heard this so many times. And I discussed with my friend, Topsy. I said, Topsy, look at what people are saying. He said, by the time I finished, he said, many people are already doing that. I don't know whether I get the point. He said, if you meet on Sundays, you can help more people will come. And Topsy said, yes, we have heard that. But do you know how many people are already meeting on Sundays? What are you going to do that many, they don't have options for? He said, they're not good churches. This is Meet Me. I can recommend in Enugu at least 2 churches that I'm sure the pastors are very honest. And they will never manipulate you with the word of God. Come and meet me. I'll point them out to you. So I said, and my friend and I concluded, I said, but the one you are doing, look around, how many people are doing it? I said, I don't know anybody else apart from me. He said, fine. So why do you want to deny us of something that only you are the only one doing? Meanwhile, the other one, we want to join the one that with their multitudes. I told him wisdom. Thank you very much for removing all these voices of harassment. I wasn't tempted. They are looking for a good church to go on Sunday. Come and see me. I will recommend. But the one I'm doing is the one I'm doing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, I like it like that. I like it like that. And from the beginning, before I started, I settled down. Based on thoughts, dreams, different things, I said, this is the way I want to do this ministry. And until I turn aside and look, and God says, let's move in another direction, I continue in this direction. So anything you want to do in life, ask yourself. Don't sit there, I like that shop. Look at the way their shop is. Let's rent a shop like that. You've just begun to fail. You can be sure of that. You don't want that. You want it. Ask yourself, what is it that I am going to do? That some, like I always say, you're doing business. Why should they leave that door? Leave that door and come to your own. Ask yourself. Say, if you do like this, you will have more volume sales. Is your life about volume sales or doing that which you are supposed to do? Problem with a lot of pastors is this is volume sales. More volume. That's a problem with it because, you know, I was talking to some of my colleagues, they're talking about messages, how some pastors say this, I say you have to understand that we have set a standard in this day's Christianity. We said that simple, this is how we know whether you are doing well. We count the amount of individuals you have and the amount of money you gather. So when you put those two together, you now it's very easy to know whether a ministry is doing good or doing bad.
And one of our guys in their church, that is how they relate, they check the performance of all the pastors. Nothing else. How many people did your church? 75. How much is the offering? And they come again. He said, listen, look at your mate. There are 750 in his church, and their tithe in a month is 18 million. You have to work hard. Work hard in what now? Make sure your membership increases in number and your tithe crosses 18 million. And for some people, once they do that, they are promoted. Maintain tithe of this amount for a certain number of time. Yeah, you get your promotion. You know the effect of that? I'll tell you. The boy said, no problem. You want number, you want money, nothing spoil. You get some kind people around town now. Some of them are demon-possessed. They wear suit. You know, suit is money. It's not anointing. I hope you know that. You all shine it well. Wear a nice tie. Just cram two messages on TV and tell a few lies. You know, human beings want to be deceived. They love it. There's no way I'm talking about that. Because I was thinking, all these ancestral curses. I say, ancestral curse today in Nigeria is a crowd puller. Listen, all right? In case you are praying for God to murder you. So just go outside, hire a hall, and put sign there. Ancestral curse is broken. Then put a few testimonies. You show one woman tie her scarf, say, for 17 years, nobody made progress in our family until we broke the curse. Just put a few testimonies there. It's not hard. I'm telling you, God will eventually deal with you, but at least you will have proved what I'm saying correct. Then tell them that once you sow a seed, listen, in a few weeks, you go cross that threshold number. Your offering too will go up. So a lot of, I know what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. So what people start doing that, their guys will not go around. I have friends in ministry, tell me these things. Look, we can help you grow this church. It's simple. We'll arrange like this. Before you know what happened, the whole town is there. They do fake miracles. My wife knows what I'm talking about. People hire wheelchairs. I'm not... Pentecostal churches, though. Why? Because somebody said it's volume. We're looking at ministry. It's like that in business, too. It is volume, it's volume. Go and check why American stock market crashed that time. Aaron, read the story of Aaron. You know Dell? How many of you know Michael Dell? As of today, he's trying to buy out Dell computers from public domain. He said he's tired of the pressure of the stock market, watching them to perform every few weeks. The current thing now, Microsoft and some banks have gathered together and money is ready. It's just for the shareholders to agree. And they buy out all the other shareholders. Dell is returning the company to himself and a few people. That way we can do real business. That is one that we're under pressure, quarterly returns, quarterly sales. That the thing is not allowing them to do business. The quarrel now is the amount of money, I think $18.50 per share that is offering. They said, no, it's too low. There's one big troublemaker, big investor that's there. Danalai, we want 26, something like that. That's the problem currently. Mary Kay Ash, when she started Mary Kay, after a while, she went public also. After a while, she said, thank you very much. She borrowed money from bank and bought all the shares back. So this is now to do business. Even Richard Branson went public. After a while, the guy said, no, I can't do business like this. He returned every cobble people used to buy his shares. He borrowed money from banks and gave it back to them. They put me under pressure to be doing business in one particular way. That's the same thing with ministry. People are under pressure. The pastor has to drive a car that's a particular caliber. It's a sign of prosperity. Sometimes just a sign of confusion. Most times. What am I going to say? If you are going to do anything ministry-wise, business-wise, ask yourself, I'm about to start this. What is it that I will be doing that will be different? Why did God add me to the number of people doing this? Many people are already out there doing it. What am I going to do that's different? It is not written in any Bible. You only find out when you turn aside to look. Why do Christians fast? That's what they fast for. Let me just say this to you. All these generational curses. You know, my great-grandfather divorced my great-grandmother. And they said nobody in their family will ever have stable marriage. Let me tell you the truth.
If you see something like that, that's actually running down. Are you following my point? Before you start checking generational curses, check generational behavior. Are you getting my point? Before you start checking generational curses, check generational behavior. Most of those so-called curses, even though they are real, they don't come except there's a curse in the new generation. The Bible says a curse that is causeless does not come. The literal word does not alight, that it does not land like a bird. Are you getting my point? It's flying. Let it fly. If you don't release your own cause to type into the curse, it is none of your business. And some of those prayers, people pray, tonight, we are going to break it. Say, broke. We are breaking. They can't break. Because the thing is held by abnormal behavior. As long as the abnormal behavior is not broken, the problems can't disappear. That's why, listen, you see problems always. You have to go turn aside and look and say, what is the problem? Because, you know, we read something in one book when we were pediatric students, undergraduate, pediatrics. They were talking about obesity and all of that. There's some people say that obesity or fatness is in their family. He said, before you check, just check the eating habit of the family. It's in our pediatrics book. Together, you see, father fat, mother fat, all the children fat. Say, oh, it's a genetic fatness. He said, first, it could be just genetic overworking. And listen, you know, recently Americans tried to ban serving, that's in New York, their current mayor, Bloomberg. Bloomberg sponsored the bill to ban the serving of large volume, you know, Coke, Fanta, you know, what they call soda, all right? That's what they call, we call them soft drinks here, large volume soft drinks. Go to New York. Let them serve you food. You will understand why Bloomberg said he was going to ban it. No, you will understand. Plates there, plates. They don't get plates, not tray. I remember once, my friend Chooks, my friend Uche, and another classmate. Okay, three of us, me, Chooks, and Uche went out during the day. So another of our classmates, Barra, said that we should come to his house, he's, you know, in the evening, that he would take us out and all of that. So we said, Barra is taking us to go and eat in the evening. Let's not eat. We just went shopping, moving around. So let's just take some snacks, because we're not hungry. So Chooks said, Barra is taking us out in the evening, so we can't afford to fill up our stomach before we go and see. But let's just stop. Just, you know, just inside the mall, just sit down somewhere, like in shop right now, and pick some. So that's okay. I forgot what the guy should give us, and is it milkshake, they call it, whatever. That, like ice cream that's melted, something like that. That the guy dropped my own in front of me. The thing was so tall. The spoon where Bobo put inside, it was as if he wanted to eat with the devil. They said, when you are dining with the devil, what do? He's a long spoon. Now Bobo gave me long spoon. So I asked him jokingly, you know, I've been Niger boy, I don't understand this guy in New York behavior. I said, how many people's portion is that one? The young guy laughed. I said, where am I supposed to start from? Hey, like, start from anywhere. If you live there, because that's a serving. I hope you understand. It's what? 1 serving. But go to China. Go to Japan. Go to Korea. You know how they take chop? You see their plates. It'd be like the one they take burnt incense from inside church. Now, so it takes small. And you see it in their size. What am I trying to explain? A lot of our generational curses are what? Generational behaviors. And many of those things we never know until we turn aside to look. So before you start breaking the devil, this devil was in my family 18 years ago. Tonight, you know, most of, God, please forgive me what I want to say. It is not too bad. I'm just helping your people. Most of these people are ignorant. I'm sorry. Most of the pastors who shout all those things, now, when they worry them now, what? Ignorance. You know, because I'm a doctor, I hear testimonies that embarrass me. I'm a preacher. I just won't bury my face. Because I'm one of them, you know. Said, this man has been delivered from staphylococcus. Hey! You You want to bury yourself in the ground. There's no disease so called. I've heard all the symptoms of staphylococcus is staphylococcus confusion. That is, the man talking is confused. The person who came to present to him, they are all confused. So when you are sleeping and your body is doing grow. If your rent is due in 3 days, your body will do grow. Believe me. And when you don't have the money, you know this kind of thing, the sinner fleeth when no man pursueth. The debtor refuses to answer the call, even when it's not the landlord that is calling. That is why body does grow. Now say, if something is moving from your left leg and going to your back, yeah, you know, because I did psychiatry as a medical student, I said, that is psychosomatic symptoms. There's nothing wrong with the fellow. He's worried. They now go for one lab. They now say that we use Ogbonge computerized machine to diagnose your ailment. They now carry something to put on his skin and say that he has cultured staphylococcus. He now comes to the pastor with the result. They will now pray for him, and they heal the heart of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. Now notice what he said. They heal it slightly. So it works for a few days. It's called placebo effect. You know why God said I should be a doctor in life? So that I can balance the truth when I'm preaching. And you look at it and say, my God, what is wrong with this fellow? Nothing. Well, let me finish my message. Time has gone. What is the point I'm making? A lot of times people, they don't watch the generational misbehavior. They are trying to break a generational curse when there is no curse. It's just what the Bible calls the just recompense of reward for disobedience. And they walk perpetually in disobedience, many of them after they gave their lives to Christ. You get the point? Therefore, the problem remains. He says it's a curse. Listen to me. In Christ Jesus, every curse is broken. But when a man, you know, I told the believer's problems has a number of origins. Number one, I said, is what? Ignorance. Number two, I said, when a man doesn't understand proper order and procedure, so he's walking against the laws of God. All right? I use another word for you when I was describing that. I talked about another, when he walks in sin, I mentioned that, you know, disobedience. That's what the Bible calls it, just recompense of reward for disobedience. And I said there's a trial of his faith. All right, the one I'm talking about now is when somebody is holding on to a bad behavior and there's a just recompense that is attached. It's not devil. The one I say all the time, every businessman that doesn't have a strict accounting method will always be broke. Why? There's a spiritual commandment. It's in the Bible. Proverbs 27:23. Know the condition of your flock, for riches are not forever. It's a scripture. You must know how much money comes in, how much money goes out, how they come in, how they go out. It's a law in the scriptures. Everybody must know the condition of his flock. Most people that do businesses don't know the condition of their flock. In my wife doing business, she has encountered many people. They want to pay her money. They bring the company account and just say, is this, am I selling this to your company or to you? And they're like, what is the difference? Believe from now to tomorrow. Confess from now to tomorrow. You can never financially balance unless you join politics. You know what I'm saying? Now, what have I said all of these things? So, this point I want to make is this. Let me just say, we'll continue next time. So why do we turn aside to look? It's simple. Why do we fast? We fast to turn aside to look. Every minister should fast concerning his ministry. Every man, every woman should fast concerning their marriage. You should fast concerning your children. Oh, but I'd like to just drop this one in. Ben Carson's mother was confused. Two boys, the only two boys she had, the only two children she had, they were flunking out badly in school. She could hardly read or write. She said, God, what do I do? She told the boys, go to sleep. I need to go and talk with God. Benka said, I could not sleep. I was afraid the Holy Spirit would tell my mother something that would not be pleasant. And when they woke up next day, the mother said, the Holy Spirit has spoken. And they was wondering, like, what did he say? And you know, simple things like, no more television in the house. What? You can only watch 2 hours a week. Huh? This is wicked. Holy Spirit cannot be the Holy Spirit of mercy to do this to young boys. So that's not all the Holy Spirit said, though. Hey! This imprisonment, fine on top? He said, yes. You will read two books every week and give me the summary. They did not know the woman could not read. Let's make a long story short. The one we know the story is Ben Carson. He became the most famous neurosurgeon in the world. He became the first black man to be a what they call in Nigeria, we call consultant, but they call them chief. The chief of pediatric neurosurgery in one of the world's top medical institutions. Why? Because the mother turned aside to look. And he said, this is what the Holy Spirit said. You boys, no more TV. And two books every week you will read and summarize for me. Ben Carson as a little boy, poor little boy of a poor mother. One day they finished in church, a man finished preaching. The head of medical missionary. So when they left church, he felt like, good, I'll be able to serve God as a doctor. So on the way, he told the mother, can I be a doctor? I think it was like 5 or 6. And the mother said, anything you want to be in this world, you can be. Let's just ask God for it. God answered that, but he said, listen, this will not happen except you hear what the Holy Spirit is saying concerning your boys. She read that instruction according to the word of God. And that boy, at the age of 33, in America, it was a tough thing. It wasn't just the fact that he was a surgeon or a neurosurgeon. That was a black man, and he was appointed by a pure white board. There was no black man of the board of that institution. They unanimously said, Ben Carson is a man for this job. And he proved them right. Most of us would never have heard of Johns Hopkins except for Ben Carson. Because his mother turned aside to look. For your children, concerning their lives, you have to turn aside to look. Don't let the teacher tell you that this boy does not know anything. I like what one of my chiefs said those days. They told him he had a child, a little boy who knew nothing. The boy was totally dull. He said he laughed and said nobody's teaching him anything. He took a leave and went home. He said he just went to the boy's school and just looked from outside. I said nobody's teaching him anything. Why? Because the class had, of course, maybe 20 people or more. And the boy was at the back of the class, not paying attention, and the teacher never found out. The boy didn't know he was coming. The teacher did not know he was coming. He just came to the class and just stood at the back. And he was watching. I used to call my chief the wisest unbeliever I know. He said, I said it. Nobody's teaching this boy anything. He just went home because he took his full leave. This holiday, oh boy, now me and you. He said he bought a board and a long stick so that he sat with the boy like this, could teach the board. The boy, when he was, this is one, because the boy couldn't count, he could not read A, B, C, nothing. This is A, the boy will go, oh, quap, on the head. When the boy looks at man, this guy now wicked, so he behaved. By the time we met the children, this was what they used to do, listen to me, just for parents to understand. If they are going to primary 4, the holiday between primary 3 and primary 4, they finish all the books for primary 4. When they showed us letters, he was in Lagos, his family was in Port Harcourt, he was a military officer, also one of my senior colleagues. He showed us the letter the children wrote. He told them, the mother told them, the father said, write, ask for anything you want. All of them, 3, he showed us the letters. All they asked for were books. He said, where did I learn it from? He said that once he had a senior military officer, all the children were prize winners. All of them. So he called the man one day, sir, how do you do this? The man said, it's very simple. He said, 1 hour extra a day, that's all it takes. All the children go to school, they come back home. I make sure all my children get just 1 extra hour every day. They became prize winners, all of them. Christians pray nonsense prayer too much. Oh, the devil that said my child will not succeed. Holy Ghost, fire. Somersault and scatter. Get up and die. 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 The fellow talking is a dead man. He's dead stupid. Go home, sit with that boy, teach him. Let the devil that wants to take his brain come back. I told you Christians eat devils. Come back now. You say you won't take brain. Come. Man, use that your foolish wisdom. I go convert them. Use them against you. We pray stupid, ignorant prayers that insult heaven. And they won't turn aside to look. There is wisdom for salvation. You know what Paul said? You have known the Holy Scriptures. You've known it. They will now produce for you wisdom. I don't know whether you get the point that I'm trying to bring up from there. Let's first read the Bible. Then with the knowledge of Scriptures we have, we go into prayer. Then God will now from there give us a word to tackle our own situation. Christians pray a lot of annoying prayers. A lot of annoying prayers. Most of the prayer, you know, some of you, you know what God is saying? I don't want to hear your shout again for the next 1 month. You know what he says? Shout. Let us pray. He said, if I hear that, I enjoy you. When you come to pray, go and read Ecclesiastes chapter 5 before you show up. Guard your steps when you draw near my temple. Draw near to listen. And from now on, when you come to pray, I don't want to hear anything more than, Father, I thank you. The rest, shut your mouth and let me do the talking. You're going to take a book. I'll go into that next time. You're going to take a book. You are going to take a Bible. You are going to take a tape. You are going to just sit down there and listen. When you are through, you say, Father, I thank you. And you go away. When you show up again, you start with, Father, I thank you. I worship you because you are. If you raise your voice, I will enjoy you. When you finish saying thank you, you're my God, you're my King, shut your mouth. Take that Bible and start reading. Put in that tape and listen. If you want to fall asleep, please fall asleep. When you are finished sleeping, wake up and continue from where you stop. After a while, the demon of sleep will be tired. This guy, whether he sleeps or wakes, he still listens. When that 1 month, 2 months, that's all the prayer, that's all this your loud noise you have made over the last 3 years is the reason why I have not been able to bless you one bit. Because you have done all the talking. You come, you make up your mind about what you want to do, and you pray by force that I must go that way. You get my point? You know, wives do it once in a while. My wife has stopped that in a small, small. My husband, what do you think? My mind, yeah, you made up your mind. You're trying to help me think it. I don't agree. We do it to God also. We made up our mind. The business I want to do must be between here and there. And then I say, Lord, you know, we'll now go and bribe him. Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of all thy increase. You quickly pay. Say, God, but I've already tithed on the business. We can't stop it now. That's what you have been doing the last 3 years. I said, that's why I've not been able to do anything for you. I can't bless you. You do all the planning, all the talking, all the... In the name of Jesus, progress. I command this business to move forward, to move forward. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Hakim, let's go. You don't jump inside a car. You don't go. You bless your own way. Open your own door. I said, yeah. She, has he walked? He said, no. All right. Next 3 months. For some people, one guy was 1 month, another person 2 months. Another fellow hearing me, your own is 3 months. You will close that mouth. Don't bless anything apart from Nigeria. So Lord bless this country. Let the next bomb not go off in Kano in Jesus' name. Amen. When it comes to your life, don't bless nothing. Just sit down there. Lord, I thank you. Then open your Bible to Psalm 1. Just read Psalm 1. Then collect a tip. How to get God's best. And the woman say, that one Israel gave me. Listen to it. Courage to conquer, Pastor Bank, listen to it. You know, as you are listening, then periodically when your mind goes to your issues, don't see anything, just turn to look. Those things we are thinking about doing. There are some, you just say, Lord, what do I stop? God just say, boom, before you know what I do, that investment. You say, but Lord, we have already put in 2.6 million. Count that money as the years that the locust ate the canker worm, the palmer worm, which other worm is it? The caterpillars, all my great armies, the locust. He said, but if you count it like that, I will now restore double back to you eventually. If you try to recover it, you will only be sending good money after bad. Let me stop. Why do Christians fast? Because they want to turn aside to look. Have you gotten my point? Have you gotten my point? Let's bow down our heads and say, Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you for everybody who listened to these words today and were blessed by those words. They imbibe those words and believe them. Give them direction in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them direction in the name of Jesus Christ. And let that which was cloudy, unclear, let it become clear. Let that mist lift and let them see your perfect plan for their future, for their destiny, for the next thing that they're about to do. Let them see it in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we have prayed.